This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Sunday, 1 o'clock, M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. One of the marquee games of the first third of the NFL season. The 3-2 Ravens, winners of three in a row against surprising 4-1 Washington. They have won four games straight. A matchup of the two best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, you could certainly say, Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels. An early season showdown between a team that had major league expectations coming in against a team that didn't have many, but might have a lot more come late Sunday afternoon. Good morning. Denton is here with me. This one, as we've talked about all week long, is a big one for Washington. It's a new feeling for the fan base. It's been a long time. For Baltimore, they're used to it. I mean, they opened up with the Chiefs in the season kickoff at Arrowhead. 2 weeks later, they had Dallas at home, Dallas on the road, in a game the entire nation watched. Same thing a week later in Baltimore against Buffalo. The Ravens are used to this spotlight. They've been in it for years now. It's been a long time for Washington, as we know, a franchise that we've suffered with for a quarter century plus that's been so dormant for so long, but now looks like it's on the verge of a turnaround, and perhaps a much earlier than expected turnaround. Can't wait for Sunday at 1. We will be talking about this one for pretty much the majority of the show. Guests on the show today include Bobby Trossett. He's got a podcast covering the Ravens in Baltimore. We've had Bobby on the show before. He'll join us at 11 a.m. Ben Standig will join us at noon. Mark Schlereth, who's called a couple of Washington's games already, and by the way, was on the last Washington team that legitimately was good in 91, will join us at 12:35. Cliff Kingsbury talked yesterday. We'll have some of that. Smell test picks if you want them. A preview of the game on Sunday. My keys to a win over the Ravens. And Denton and I will have predictions as well. We'll let you guys weigh in today as well. This will be one of those, you know, Fridays. And it's been a while since we just kind of opened it up and said, what do you think? Give us what happened Sunday and why. So we will do that as well during the show. But I want to start, Denton, with a what do you got?
All right, all right, all right.
What do you got?
So, quickly diverting from the big game on Sunday. Tomorrow night at Capital One Arena, the Capitals kick off their 50th season in Washington. 50 years ago, the expansion Capitals arrived out in Landover at the Capitol Center, Landover, Largo. It was referred to by many names back then. They won 8 games their first year, lost 67, tied 5. It took them 9 seasons, 8 without the playoffs, their 9th season when they finally did make the playoffs in 1982-1983. They lost to the Islanders in a first-round Patrick Division matchup, 3-1. But they would make the playoffs 33 of the next 41 seasons starting in 82-83. And, of course, 2 Stanley Cup trips in terms of the finals and 1 Stanley Cup title in 2018. They play the Devils tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. There are tons of events down in Chinatown, pretty much starting at like 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. They've got a red carpet event at 4. Players will be brought in via a red carpet. They'll stop, they'll pose for pictures, sign autographs. 70 Capitals alumni will be downtown as well. 50 years of the Caps. You know, when you think about hockey in this town and the Capitals in particular, over that 50 years, they really developed an absolute devout, hardcore fan base. Is it as large as the football teams? No, never has been, never will be for that matter. But I'm not sure there's been a more passionate, you know, fan base, regardless of size, for any of the teams in town. In part because they played well. None of the 4 professional sports franchises has been to the playoffs as frequently, not even close to what the Capitals have been. The Capitals have been in the NHL over really a 41-year period after their first 8 years after expanding here to D.C. They have been thought of as one of those perennial playoff teams. And for many years, certainly during the Ovechkin years, a perennial contender. The story, by the way, of this 50th season will be, you know, yes, to a certain extent, Spencer Carberry's second year, went to the postseason kind of as a surprise in his first year. They were a wild card team. They lost to the Rangers in 4 straight. But really, this is about Alex Ovechkin's hunt for Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals number. He is 41 short of tying, 42 from becoming the all-time NHL goal scorer. It could happen this year. He had 31 goals last year, but in 2022-2023, he had 42 goals. The NHL season underway already, but the Caps open up tomorrow night, kicking off their 50th campaign here in D.C. All right, so real quickly on last night, Thursday night football, Denton. We saw what the Niners can be without McCaffrey. You know, they had Jordan Mason and Isaac Garendo, or Garendo, or however you pronounce. I didn't even know the running back. It's just amazing to me, the Shanahan run scheme over the years. The just plug and play, pretty much any running back is going to average a bunch of yards per carry. Jordan Mason was 9 for 73, 8.1 yards per carry. He got hurt, and Isaac Garendo came in, and he was 10 for 99, 9.9 yards per carry. Now, he did have a 76-yarder, but that's what they do. You know, they break your back with stretching you out, and then all of a sudden, after a couple of 3-4 yard gains, boom, there's a big one. The Seahawks did not go away last night. They were down 23-3, and they got it back to 23-17 with the football. But you saw the 49ers defensively completely shut down the run. Seattle pretty much had to go to hurry up to try to wear San Francisco down, throwing it exclusively for much of the night. Geno Smith ended up throwing for over 300 yards, but 2 critical picks in the game. Purdy was solid, and the 49ers got one last night that I really think they needed. I mean, 2-4, would you have counted San Francisco out? Probably not. I don't think you would have ever counted the 49ers out. But at 2-4, if the Seahawks had been 4-2 with a game up on the San Francisco 49ers head-to-head, that would have been a lot of battling to do. Now the 49ers have that, you know, long rest in advance of their matchup, the Super Bowl rematch with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are on bye week, so you get two teams very well rested for a game next Sunday, 4:25, the game of the year. Next Sunday, rematch of the Super Bowl, Chiefs at 5-0, the 49ers at 3-3. But that was last night, and now we focus on Sunday at 1. So there is no doubt in my mind that it's been forever since Washington's had a game of this magnitude in September, October. We've talked about it all week long. And the question, of course, is, you know, will they be up for it? You know, I think that there's a lot of angst among fans, those that have really immersed themselves in this season, and those that are just starting to trickle back in because the team appears to be good. And really, it makes a big difference when a team is, you know, looking on the uptick in terms of potential playoffs, et cetera, but has a superstar to go along with it. And that's what they have right now in Jaden Daniels. He has certainly played that way. And I've sensed all week, and we've taken calls, and, you know, there's been a lot of interaction on social media. I do kind of sense that there's a lot of people expecting the other shoe to drop on Sunday. I don't feel that way at all. But I totally understand those that do feel that way. You know, Quinn was asked about it the other day, and he said, I haven't even thought of it that way. Well, why would he? This is his first year here. But there's something different, you know. There's more than just something different. There's a lot different about what they're going into Sunday. You know, this isn't an organization that might, you know, have won a couple of games in a row and have people excited, but the owner is going to get involved with the quarterback, and the owner is going to somehow meddle with the coach. He's gone. You know it still seems at times like it wasn't that long ago, and it wasn't, but he's gone. You have a traditional structure in your organization. You got an organization that is functional. You got an owner that steers clear. He hired a general manager. They hired a coach. There is a front office that picks the players. There's a coaching staff that coaches the players. And the most important thing that they've done after Josh Harris hiring Adam Peters and Adam Peters and Josh Harris hiring Dan Quinn is it appears they got it right on the most important football move, the very first significant football move they made, which was drafting Jaden Daniels at number 2. And look, there were choices there. It wasn't so obvious. I think it became obvious before the draft and the weeks leading up to the draft. It started to become more obvious, but there were a lot of Drake May people out there. There were a lot of you that said, no, don't take the quarterback. Trade back. Get more picks. Build up your offensive line. Build up your defense. And then go get the quarterback. And look, that is not like an unreasonable view. I've never felt that way as it relates to this particular sport, because in 2024, you pretty much have to have the quarterback. Yes, there are examples, and San Francisco might be one of those examples, but we don't have Kyle Shanahan and that runs, you know, that zone run scheme and what Shanahan's been able to do in San Francisco, what his father was able to do in every place he was in. It's just unique to be able to win with Jimmy Garoppolo, to be able to win with Brock Purdy, who I think is better than Jimmy Garoppolo, and probably, you know, a definite top half of the league quarterback. I don't consider Purdy to be elite. I don't consider Purdy to be top 10. Some do, but he's definitely a top half of the league quarterback. But most need the quarterback. The Chiefs weren't the Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes. They had, you know, they had Alex Smith and Andy Reid together, and they really couldn't do anything once they got to the postseason. The Ravens have Lamar Jackson. The Bengals have Joe Burrow. The Packers had Aaron Rodgers. The Cowboys, yes, they have Dak Prescott, but they don't do anything in the playoffs. Anyway, you got to have the quarterback. They appear to have gotten that right. And as long as he stays healthy, I don't feel the angst heading into Baltimore, or heading into any place this year, home or away, feeling like the other shoe's going to drop. It just has not felt that way to me. I don't think these players, I don't think these coaches have any sense of what some of us and some of you guys are feeling. I think they think they're good. I think even before this season started, there were people out there that expected a lot more than maybe a lot of us expected. There is no doubt that Jaden Daniels has exceeded their expectations, but they expected him to be good. They expected their offensive line to be a lot better than the critics thought. They actually expected their skill position players, especially at running back, to be much better than some of the pundits thought they would be. I guarantee you that Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury thought they had a shot to be pretty decent offensively this year. I also think they thought they had a chance to be much better defensively than they've been so far. And to me, ultimately, that is a big part of Sunday's game. How well the defense plays in a specific area of the field. I can't wait for Sunday. Cannot wait for Sunday at 1 o'clock. The build-up to see Washington relevant right now, again, for the first time in a long time, is really nice. It's something to, you know, it's exciting when everybody's talking about your team in a positive way versus the other way, which was the way it was discussed for so long. There's no guarantee that it's going to last here early in the quarterback's career, early in this first season of having all of these guys together, but I don't think it's going to crash and burn this year. They're just too good and too good at the most important position on the field for it to fall apart. I don't want to think about losing Sunday. And I've already said that those that go into this thinking, hey, it's okay. We've, you know, built up four wins. We've got, you know, a good spot, you know, situated after six games, win or lose. This is an icing on the cake game. No, it's not. It's a go in and take over M&T Bank with an offense and dominate Baltimore and score 35 plus and come home 5-1. That's the opportunity. And I guarantee you that's what they're thinking they can do. Now, they're up against a very good team and an exceptional quarterback and offense right now in Baltimore's offense. But if they were to lose, it's certainly not the end of the season. It's certainly not going to, you know, significantly lessen the talk about Washington's prospects in the NFC. But I like their chances. I really do. All right. When we come back, I will give you my keys to a win over the Baltimore Ravens. Next hour, we'll do predictions. We'll let you guys weigh in as well. Or were we going to do that in this first hour? I think we were going to do that in the first hour, Denton. We were going to do that, yeah, at about 10:40. So you can start lining up on the phones. We'll start taking calls at about 10:40, about 20 minutes from now. Who do you got and why? Predictions for Sunday's game. I'll give you my keys to a win over the Ravens when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right. Keys to a win over the Baltimore Ravens. I think this game really is decided in one area of the field more than any other, and that would be the red zone. The better red zone team wins on Sunday. Of course, there are scenarios in which you end up, you know, giving up possessions before you get to the red zone with turnovers, with penalties, but both teams, all right, are going to be able to move the football more likely than not. Both teams have been excellent in the red zone their last three games. The Ravens number one in the NFL, Washington sixth in the NFL over their last three games. This game comes down to two teams who move the ball up and down the field between the 20s, but when they get to the red zone, who forces the most field goal attempts wins? Who gets a fourth down stop more than the other team wins the game? I don't see a lot of punts in this game. I see a lot of yards, maybe a clock that runs, maybe, you know, balls that don't hit the ground, maybe a faster game, maybe a lower possession count game. You know, Washington had a seven possession game against the Giants because they didn't punt, a six possession game against the Bengals because they didn't punt, and a nine possession game against the Cardinals. That is less than the average number of possessions, far less than you typically get on, you know, when you have the ball. You get about 10 and a half to 11 possessions a game on average in the NFL. Washington's been playing fewer possessions because they don't give up the ball very much. So I see that kind of a game. I see a seven or an eight possession game for each team. And the team that attempts more field goals probably loses. Who scores touchdowns versus who kicks field goals is probably the difference in this game. Now, a couple of things that you would like to see Washington do, you know, in between the 20s. If you assume that you're going to get moved on, you got to somehow slow down the run. I'm not sure Washington can do much to slow down Baltimore. I really don't. I'm not confident that they have figured it out defensively. I know some of you are. I think last week is a major head fake. Cleveland, horrible on offense. Just terrible at the quarterback position. The week before, go figure, Arizona decides they're not going to run their quarterback at all against Washington. They did it against San Francisco. Did Washington have a lot to do with that? Containing him in the pocket? Sure, there was some of that, but they didn't run him on any called runs or designed runs or option runs in the game, Kyler Murray. So I can't take a lot of the last two games and turn it into I'm super confident now they figured it out defensively. They're still not turning the ball over. They don't get takeaways. And they're playing the best offensive team they have played all year long. Cincinnati was good. Cincinnati didn't punt. All right. Cincinnati versus Washington came down to a couple of field goal attempts and a missed field goal by Cincinnati. That was the difference in the game. I see something similar to that on Sunday. But with the Ravens, if you don't slow down the run, which I think will be very hard to do, but if you don't perhaps sell out to slow down the run, then you are vulnerable to 12, 13, 14 play drives at 5-plus yards per carry with 5-6 minutes eaten off the clock. That's 5 to 6 minutes your own offense isn't on the field. I'm not advocating selling out to stop the run and taking, you know, your lumps on big plays and let them score on 60-yard touchdowns. It just would be painful, and Baltimore does this to teams. It would be painful to see Henry for 6, Jackson on a keeper on a read option for 5 more, Justice Hill on a quick swing pass for 6 more, you know, and just see methodically from the 30-yard line, 70-yard, 12, 13, 14 play drives eating up 5-6 minutes of time. I'm concerned about what Washington will do defensively to slow down the run. Baltimore is in 12 personnel, 13 personnel with a 300-pound fullback in Patrick Ricard a lot of the time. Washington's been in nickel primarily. Now, most teams don't play base defense the majority of the time, but Washington's been in nickel and in dime a lot of the time. Can you stop the run with 5 defensive backs on the field? Maybe. Maybe their best tacklers are actually some of their safeties. It's going to be interesting to see what Washington chooses to do in an effort to slow down the run. Who knows? Maybe they choose to do less than I am thinking, and they'll just try to gut it out and tough it out once Baltimore gets to the red zone. That may be Baltimore's attack defensively as well. We'll bend and we won't break when you get to a condensed field when the field shortens when you get to the red zone. It's going to be interesting, though, to see how Washington matches up personnel. Will we see more base defense, more 3 linebackers on the field? I doubt it. I think Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn want their best players on the field, and I don't think that includes typically 3 linebackers. But, man, Baltimore can just run it down your throat. This idea that they figured it all out against a Cleveland team that was just lacking in imagination and lacking in talent and lacking in health on offense, I think would be massively misdirected if taken that way. But slowing it down a little, you know, perhaps, you know, not getting gashed for 5, 6 yards, 7 yards per carry, I think that that would be important to the psyche, if anything else. Baltimore doesn't need to run it to move it. We saw some of that last week. Lamar Jackson, exceptional, exceptional from the pocket last week versus blitz pressure and versus normal 4-man rushes. I thought he looked about as good as he's looked as a passer last week. By the way, a playmaker as well. Number 3. Washington beats Baltimore if, you know, this is one of those games when you are an underdog for a reason. You know, Baltimore probably is the more complete team right now, although I think the offenses are very comparable. I don't think Baltimore defensively is what they were last year by a long shot, especially in their secondary. But in these games, when you go in as that team, you need a couple of things to go your way. You know, I talked about this earlier in the week when we first started to think about this game, and I was thinking about it in terms of, you know, who forces field goals? Who forces the surprise punt in the game? Well, sometimes the field goal attempt or the surprise punt in a game between two explosive offensive teams, is a penalty that derails it. Although these two teams don't seem to be derailed by penalties much. They are totally capable of overcoming second and 20, third and 15. They have. But if you can get a penalty, even if it doesn't really look like a penalty, a lot of penalties don't look like penalties. You got to be on the right side of those. That holding call where they go to the replay and Nance and Romo say, I didn't see anything there. I think that was a good block. Yeah, but now it's first and 20 instead of second and two. You know, they need some of those. Obviously, winning the turnover battle to shorten a drive or to take away a possession would be huge in this game. When you go back, you know, over these four games, you know, take the Arizona game and the Cleveland games kind of out because those were one-sided blowouts. But the Giant game really was won because of a punch-out by Benjamin St. Juice on Devin Singletary on the first drive of the third quarter. They stole a possession, you know, and it was crucial in a game in which they won with a walk-off field goal. In Cincinnati, they got a really big play by Sanristil and Chin, and they forced a 48-yard field goal that Cincinnati Evan McPherson missed. That was massive in the game. These are the kinds of things that you probably need one or two of. You need something to just slow down, derail a drive, force an unexpected punt, or force that unexpected field goal when they're rolling. Because there are going to be drives where Baltimore starts out at their own 30-yard line after we kick off. Hopefully, after we kick off. And they start at their 25 or their 30 or their 33-yard line, and they're just motoring it down the field. And then you need something. And we see it in the NFL every week, even with really good offensive teams. It's like, what? That wasn't offensive pass interference. That wasn't holding. And all of a sudden, they're trying to overcome a first and long or second and long situation. If you get them into those situations, you've got to find a way to get off the field. I don't think this game is that difficult in terms of viewing it. It, of course, will end up being something totally different than what we're talking about because the NFL kind of takes on, you know, a different look every week from team to team, game to game. So it'll probably be, you know, a low-scoring 17-14 defensive battle. But that's not what it looks like going in. What it looks like going in is two teams that haven't been stopped offensively for several weeks in a row, that have vulnerabilities defensively, and this is like the team with the ball at the end wins. The team that ends up kicking more field goals loses. The team that has a possession stolen from them by a bad penalty call and ends up having to punt is, you know, all of a sudden potentially in a two-score deficit. Or rather than going up two scores, it remains a one-score, you know, game. It's those things to me that kind of define this game going in. It's not a lot harder than that. Now, how do you get those red zone stops? It's going to be interesting defensively to see how Washington plays it. When they are in that condensed field situation, are they in nickel? Do they, you know, do they basically spread it out in coverage? Do they load the box and dare, you know, Jackson to beat them with a slant to one of their tight ends, a fade to Zay Flowers, you know, in hopes that he doesn't connect on a couple of those throws in a tightly condensed situation? Offensively, how creative does Cliff Kingsbury have to be when they get into that red zone? They've got, you know, a cheat code, but the other team has one as well, because it's the second play, you know, the extension off the first play in the red zone that often is the difference between touchdowns and field goals. This matchup is big time, but it really doesn't seem super nuanced or super complicated going in. Both of these offenses are rolling. Both of these defenses have struggled here recently. I still am not confident in Washington's defense, despite what many think after the Cleveland game in particular. And it's about, you know, stealing a possession here or there, forcing a field goal attempt versus giving up a touchdown, getting a phantom holding or a phantom offensive PI penalty to derail a drive. I think that's what it comes down to. I think it's going to be one of those games that's fast moving. I think Washington, even though they probably won't run the ball effectively against Baltimore, will be able to throw the football, will be able to throw short, quick game against Baltimore, run extension throws, which we've seen at times. Really looking forward to seeing the matchup. I don't think it's high-level chess in this game. I think it's a couple of breaks and a couple of big plays on defense by either team without much being expected that ends up being the difference. Of course, you can't give the ball away. Those are possessions where more likely than not, they're going to result in scores for the other team that would put the game out of balance in terms of you want to stay matching. You know, they score, you got to score. Or you score, they come back, then you got to get another one. You got to stay ahead of them. Be aggressive. Oh, I wrote down this last thing. You've got to be aggressive in the final 2 minutes of the first half if you have the football. There is no, you know, laying off, giving your team an extra possession in the game. You have to steal as many opportunities possession-wise as you can in this game. You do not want to be one short than you should have been. You do not want to end up in the locker room at halftime with timeouts that you should have taken on defense, and by the time you got the ball back, you decided to knee it out in the first half and take two timeouts with you. No, this has to be a stay aggressive in terms of giving your offense as many chances as possible. Because I think if they do, I think they'll score 27+. All right. Your thoughts, keys to a win over Baltimore, and a prediction for the game. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can download us via the Odyssey app. Take us wherever you want. Listen to us whenever you want. If you listen to the podcast of this show later on today, if you don't mind, give us a quick Apple rating and review. Really helps us out. Same on Spotify. Follow us as well.
Big day tomorrow for the Capitals. They start their season. It'll be their 50th. They start at home against the New York Jersey Devils at 7 p.m. You can hear that radio call on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. MLB playoffs yesterday. New York takes down Kansas City 3-1. Do take that series 3-1. They move on to the ALCS. Juan Soto is 1-4 at the plate, but did have an RBI. In the other game, Cleveland forces a game 5 in the ALDS with a 5-4 win over Detroit. The winner of that game will take on the New York Yankees. Thursday Night Football, San Francisco gets back in the win column, 36-24 over the Seattle Seahawks. Brock Purdy goes 18-28 for 255 yards and 3 touchdowns. George Kittle caught 2 of those touchdowns. Geno Smith, 30 of 52 for 312 yards, a touchdown, and 2 interceptions. And that's what's trending.
That's where the confidence lies, I think, that he can do that. You know, I mean, we had a free rusher, a free runner, and he just makes a miss. He's a tremendous player, makes a miss, and goes for 40. And so you have a guy who can hurt you with your arm, with your legs, even if it's not the perfect call or the perfect look. I think we all have a lot of confidence in putting the ball in his hands, and we got some playmakers that can get open.
Cliff Kingsbury yesterday on the success that the team has had on fourth down conversions. There are only 3 teams in the league that have not missed on fourth down. The Bills, the Chiefs, and Washington. Washington's the best of those 3. They're 8-for-8 on fourth down. The Bills are 7-for-7. The Chiefs are 4-for-4. By the way, the Ravens are 3-for-4 on fourth downs. That was something I meant to mention in keys to a win. In understanding how important these possessions and making these possessions pay off, you may have to go for some fourth downs. You have to probably play aggressively. And you do have, in both quarterbacks, 2 guys where, you know, essentially anything less than 4th and 4, you know, from the minus 40 heading into plus territory, it probably makes sense to err on the side of being aggressive, especially if you're not getting off the field defensively. All right, 301-230-0980. We'll go to Baltimore at 11 a.m., talk to our guy, Bobby Trossett. But this is your opportunity. What are the keys to a win Sunday in Baltimore, and what is your prediction? Denton and I will save our predictions for later on in the show. Let's start with our guy, Bones. Bones, how do we beat Baltimore? What's your final score prediction, sir?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Kevin. Shout out to Denton. The key to winning this game, man, is that our defense is going to fool a lot of people this weekend. Our defense is going to be very aggressive, and this is somewhat of a revenge game, because I remember when we had RG3 and we went down there and Halula Nadi hurt RG3, you understand? So we want Jaden Daniels to go in there and do a revenge thing and win this game without getting hit, hurt. And that way we have been the revenge on RG3 getting hurt when we play Baltimore. This is a revenge game. We're going to get them back for hurting RG3. Jaden Daniels is going to look good, and we're going to have a dynamite defense. My prediction, 24-10. Thank you for taking my call.
Always,
have a wonderful
Bones.
Day.
Love hearing from you. Look, remember the Haloti Nada game. Washington won that game in overtime, 31-28. That was at FedEx Field, and that was part of that big seven game winning streak run at the end of 2012. Yeah, you know who came in was huge at the end of regulation in that game. It was a long punt return that ultimately set up the game winning field goal in OT. You know, this is only Washington's third trip to Baltimore since the Ravens moved from Cleveland. This is their eighth game. The Ravens lead the series 4-3, but five of these seven have been played at FedEx Field. Let's go to Aveen. Aveen, keys to beating Baltimore and a prediction. Go.
Hey, Kevin. I've got Washington 34, Baltimore 30. I think Jaden's going to have no trouble comfortably standing back and picking them apart. Baltimore doesn't have much of a pass rush this year. But three quick stats. Baltimore has given up the most yards on plays where a QB scrambles outside the pocket. That's what Jaden Daniels excels at. They've given up the fourth most yards in balls thrown deep outside the numbers, something else Jaden excels at. And that's with the preface that they've faced a gauntlet of really good quarterbacks, but they're facing another really good one this Sunday. And third, and I think this is the most important, Baltimore has the fourth lowest rush rate when trailing. So if we can get a lead, or if we can make them feel like they're going head-to-head, they abandon the run and they put in Lamar's hands and they feel like he needs to do something. And he will throw some balls up for grabs, and he will have some inexplicable misses. He had one last game, 3rd and 5. He just
he'll drop some snaps, too.
Yep, yep. So I think in a shootout, I like our chances.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem, Aveen, because, you know, they haven't really been stopped by anybody. And I think that the feeling, you know, in recent years, especially in some of the bigger late season games, is if you can bottle up their run game and force him to throw on 3rd and long, you're at an advantage. I don't know. He's been outstanding from the pocket. I think the game against Cincinnati, honestly, was one of his better games I've ever seen him play as a passer. And so they've got some of that coming in. The other thing, too, if you miss this week, and we'll talk to Bob Trossett about it, they brought back Dean Pease as an advisor to Zach Orr, the current defensive coordinator, this week. Dean Pease was the defensive coordinator for Harbaugh for a few years, 75 years old. They brought him back this week as an advisor to help his protege, Zach Orr, defensively. You know, I don't know if that helps. Probably doesn't hurt. But Baltimore is not the same team through the first 5 weeks of the season defensively that they were last year. Let's go to Devon in Rockville. Devon, go ahead.
What's up, Kevin? Good morning.
Hey, Devon.
Of course, you know I got us, man. Why not us? You know what I'm saying? I think the score is going to be 24-31. And the reason being, if we look at that game, Kevin, that heroic moment for Lamar that he typically be having, I call it the AKA Tony Romo effect. When the ball snapped, and he picked it up, stiff arm, the same player twice, and then threw a touchdown. Like, they was down 10 at that point, though. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know why, like, a lot of people is making it seem like, oh, my God, like, the Ravens, like, watch, like we're not 4-1 ourselves. Like, it's not easy to win in the NFL. Everybody says it that knows the NFL or played in the NFL. But then they say that, but then when it comes to us being 4-1, they just so, like, so used to being so sorry. It's like, are we sure we 4-1? Yes, we 4-1, and we got a good team.
Are we sure we're 4-1, Kevin?
Yeah. Look, right, last thing. I think we're going to win because, and I'm going to call back on Monday to talk to you and my guy there. We're going to win because we're going to win the turnover battle. That's what it's going to be. We're going to pick Lamar off, or we're going to make him fumble once or twice, and that's what's going to separate the game.
Well, he did it in overtime last week, and it just took a botched hold to win that, to get the ball back and have an opportunity to win that game. If not, they would have lost that game. But, yeah, no, I know what you're saying. There's nothing that I think of that says, oh, this is a no-chancer. I've been saying this all week long. Like, this is an opportunity to go in and win. They are playing well enough offensively. Nobody has stopped them, you know, since week one. I mean, they've punted, what, 3 times in the last 4 weeks? Maybe more than that after last week's game. But I feel like there's a chance to go in there and take the Ravens defense by storm. Now, would that mean a win? No, but it would mean a shootout with a chance to win. I'm still concerned about the defense. We'll see. Hopefully, Joe Witt Jr. has a bunch figured out. The takeaways, remember, Washington next to last in the NFL right now in takeaways. This has been, you know, a coaching staff that came in. They prided themselves over what they had accomplished in Dallas, always one of the top teams in the league in takeaways. Washington right now with 3 total takeaways on the season. There are only a few teams that have 2. That's not good. It's not like Baltimore's been taking it away a lot either, though. They only have 5 takeaways so far. Both teams have struggled, with takeaways and just defense in general. Washington's turnover margin through this 4-1 stretch is 0. You know, they haven't needed a massive plus to get to 4-1. Baltimore's +1. That's it. All right, let's go to Brandon. Brandon, keys to a win Sunday in Baltimore and a prediction. Go ahead.
How you doing, Kevin? First off, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, Brandon.
I think if we can contain Lamar, we got it. Because then we can set up the stop, you know, with Allen and Payne to stop the, Derrick Henry or, you know, however we can stop him. But Lamar, he really makes a lot of mistakes whenever he's, you know, contained and, like, when he's panicking. And like you said, I think if we can just bomb it down the field, with Brown and McLaurin, I think we got it. My prediction is if we can do that, I think you're looking at, like, a 27, kind of 17-21 kind of game for the for Washington.
We got a lot of optimism here. Heading into Sunday, I think with good reason. You know, we for many weeks the last couple of years heading into games, we didn't really do the prediction segment with callers. You know, a little inside baseball. The bottom line is it got kind of old for people to just kind of call in and say we're going to get our ass kicked. Now, we did it, you know, a couple of times in 2022 when they had some big games and they were 7-5. We did it then. But last year, Denton, we pretty much abandoned it because it was like people just weren't interested in calling in and saying they're going to lose 45-10. There is a much different feeling. And again, you know, sort of testament to what a lot of us have said over the years, which is if they're actually good, it would be so much better for everybody involved. Let's go to Jalen in Richmond. Thanks for holding, Jalen. Keys to a win over the Ravens and a prediction. Go ahead. Hello, Jalen. No, Jalen, let's go to John. John, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. First time caller, love your show. I think it's going to be a close game, an exciting game, but I think it's going to be down to halftime, what happens at halftime, corrections that needed to happen, and so forth. I also think clock management is going to be an issue. Baltimore does not have good clock management. I think it's going to come down to the Commanders 31-28 in a close, high-scoring game. But I think halftime adjustments are going to be a key to this game. Thank you.
It's funny because, you know, John Harbaugh, I guarantee you, would stick his chest out and say, we know what we're doing with clock management more than anybody else. We've been the leading, edgiest team when it comes to, you know, two-point analytics, you know, clock management analytics, etc. I agree. There have been games. I mean, I can't tell you. I'm not a Ravens expert. I don't watch every single game. But there have been some games with the Ravens where I'm like, why are you doing that? But those things matter in these games. John, you're 100% right. You've got to be able to execute in those key moments where strategy, in-game strategy, really means a lot. It's one of the things I emphasized in my keys. You've got to take every opportunity you can by stopping the clock, if that's what it is required, to give your offense an extra possession. If Baltimore's driving the ball under the two-minute warning and Washington's got three timeouts left, you cannot go to the locker room with any of those timeouts left. You have to do everything in your power to give your offense another opportunity to get on the field. You've got to steal possessions in a game like this. Let's go to Chuck in D.C. Chuck, keys to a win and a prediction.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Kevin, man. I love your show. The thing is that when I look at the schedule and I look at the teams that Washington have beat so far, all the teams that they have beaten is below 500.
Yeah.
I mean, you play who you know, it was on your schedule. Cool. But the thing is that this is the toughest game so far on their schedule. And with the run game that Derrick Henry and the Baltimore Ravens bring to the table, it's going to be very, very tough. I mean, Washington defense, front seven is pretty good, but the secondary is completely terrible. So I think that Lamar Jackson is going to do a lot of play action because they're going to stack up the line to try to stop Henry, and it's going to be a lot of play action. So my score for the game is 28-20 Ravens.
All right. Good call. And look, I mean, you know, this is one of those games too, and I didn't emphasize this, but I should have. But when I talked about kind of slowing them down a little bit on the run as much as you can, and I'm going to be interested to see, you know, the personnel on the field. They've been in nickel a lot. They've been in dime a bunch. You know, I don't know if you can stop the run with five defensive backs on the field. Maybe they feel those are their best players and their best tacklers, so we'll see if that comes to fruition. But you have to tackle well. You've got to tackle. I'll tell you, one of the hardest guys to get to the ground is actually Justice Hill. You know, he is quick. He is shifty. He's got great vision as an open field runner. Frank in Charlotte. Frank, finish it up for us. Keys to a win and a prediction.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. The keys to a prediction, I think some of the fan base is a little bit delusional, with all due respect. But I think the keys to actual a win for us on Sunday, we need 2 to 3 turnovers, of course. We need 2 to 3 turnovers. And also, our D-line has to get at least 10 pressures and 2 sacks. And then, JD needs to find McCaffrey. He is winning so much with separation. He's got to make a concerted effort to actually, I don't care if it's a second layer or a deep layer, he's got to find McCaffrey. And he needs at least one TD. So with all that said, I don't think that's possible. Because we would have to play keep away from them, so we'd have to win the time of possession 3-1, which I don't think that's possible. And so they got too many receivers, too many weapons, and our defense is just too compromised. So I'm looking at 38-10 Ravens.
Ooh, all right. The first true, not super optimistic pick. Look, I think that, what was I going to say? I had a thought based on something he said at the beginning of the call, and then the 38-10 just threw me. I'll figure it out next. Bobby Trossett, Bobby Baltimore, does a podcast covering the Ravens. A good friend of the show will join us to preview it from Baltimore's perspective next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com